Blog Talk Radio.
Freaks out there. This is Ryan.
This is Angie.
And this is Jared.
And we are back on Monday nights. We have a special show planned for you tonight. We're going to talk about superstitions and some other fun stuff like you know, old sayings.
Folklore.
Folklore.
Old wives' tales.
Yeah. So we got a packed show for you guys today. Action-packed, full of goodness and lots of fun stuff.
As always.
Yes. Yes, yes, yes. So how's everyone doing tonight?
Fabulous. Fabulous. We're going on 1 month in the hospital. You know what I realized sitting here?
What's that?
I have worn nothing but pajama pants and T-shirts for 30 days now.
It's kind of suck. I have to go back to wearing
this again. I know, right? Pajama pants are awesome.
They are.
Seriously.
They are. I'd wear them all the time if I could.
Yeah. I wonder if there's any superstitions about that.
Probably. If there are, we'll know about them.
Yeah.
We got a big event this weekend.
Yes.
The Avengers Infinity War comes out Friday night. That's about it. That's the only thing I can think of that we have going on.
I mean, that's one of the most important things, but there's something else that's super important too.
What should that be? What is happening this weekend?
Who did we talk to Thursday? Who was that?
Steve.
Oh yeah, that's right. We had Scott Potter.
Parker.
Oh yeah, we had Mr. Scott Porter on the show on Thursday, giving
awesome it. Show.
It was.
It was a phenomenal show.
It was nice of us to give him a little bit of a rub, let him come on the show. You know.
It's nice of him.
He spent so much time with us.
Yeah.
He was a great guest. That
was a lot of fun. Uh-huh. And I was just kidding. We do have a big event at Henricus Park this weekend, Friday and Saturday night. Scott Porter's going to be there, and Stephanie Burke is going to be there. It's put on by Twisted Paranormal Society. Big investigation. You get a Q&A session.
Scott and Stephanie.
With Scott and Stephanie from 6 to 8 p.m. And from 8 p.m. to 2 a.m. we get to investigate.
With them,
yeah. Well, yeah. Yeah.
And
Twisted Paranormal Society.
And Prompt on the overnight part.
So, yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. And the tickets now are $55. You want a ticket Friday night, $55. You want to buy a ticket for Saturday night,
$55.
And if you want to get tickets for both nights, it is a cool $99.
Shut
your mouth.
That's it?
That is it. Guys, I mean, it's like Crazy Lyle, freaking used car sales, and everything must go. This is a closeout sale. It's a fire sale.
Everyone needs to get a ticket to this.
Yes.
Whether you're a seasoned investigator.
Well, not everyone. We can't really fit everyone in the park.
Okay, well, then everybody better run.
Everyone's brother needs to get, and sister needs to get tickets to this event.
Okay, now you're inviting brothers and sisters.
Walk, don't run. Two.
Walk.
Run, don't walk. Yeah, if you have scissors, right? don't run. But if you don't have scissors, run to your nearest computer. Open up the browser. Go to Facebook. Look up Twisted Paranormal Society. Haunted Knights of Henricus or Haunted Historic. Haunted something Henricus. Haunted Knights of Henricus, I think that's what it's called. Look it up. Go into the Eventbrite. Click on that. Say, bitch, I want a ticket.
Well, don't say that. Nice.
Don't say it because it won't do you any good because you actually got to click on it. Click on the ticket to click on the pay button and buy all the tickets.
Not all of them. Save some for somebody else.
Well, yeah. We got to share. But you get the guys from TWC to come out, the guy, Scott Porter, the one guy, but the coolest guy of the group because he's hanging out with us.
Yeah, I'll agree.
Yeah.
Hanging out with you.
Oh, yeah. Well, true.
Yeah.
And Miller can come. Only $50. Only $50.
Good, man. I will be sitting here watching it on Facebook Live if you do that.
I might be there with you if I get called in. So
I will be Facebook Living when I can. I will be there Saturday night. It's Friday night. I will be here with my girl.
Because you're the best boy ever.
I try to be. And I'll be going to the movies on Friday.
With the Mella.
What? That's super exciting. So yeah, looking forward to this weekend. It's gonna be a lot of fun. But that's this weekend. I want to thank again our guest last week coming on the show, Luann Jolly and Scott Porter. You want to give a shout out to Celestial, who's feeling under the weather. That's why she's not on the show with us tonight. She worked her ass too hard and finally caught up with her. But she needs to.
Happens to the best of us.
Does. Happens to me like all the fucking time. So yeah, give her a shout out. Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, thank you very much. See, this is what happens. I don't have something in front of me to read. I start going off in all different kinds of directions.
It's awful. Matt, all right.
The question of the day for all of you.
Uh-oh.
What is your grossest candy? Candy you don't just think is gross.
I don't know. I have to think on that for a second.
Wow, you and the hard questions.
I'm a hard-hitting journalist.
I am not a fan of peanut M&M's.
Ooh, that's a good one. That is a good one.
Them.
Oh, man.
Not a fan.
That is a
but
good
I like
one.
Peanut butter M&M's, and I like Reese's Pieces. I just don't, and I like almond M&M's.
I think sometimes the peanuts and M&M's are burnt.
Yeah. I don't know. They just don't taste right.
Maybe they're salted peanuts. It might be something different. I might like that.
We should try that. We should lick the M&M shell and then
like, how are we gonna put I can't even talk. How are we gonna fit a peanut in an M&M? We should like just make our own M&M.
Yeah. So we should lick the shell and roll it in some salt. A salted peanut M&M.
That might be good. How about you? What's your worst candy?
I think my least favorite is Kit Kat bars.
Oh my.
Kids
love those, so they
kind of
grew on me.
Really? Oh,
yeah.
Man.
It's weird.
Yeah.
I'm just not a big wafer fan, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So. It's tough, and it's up there. I don't know. How to narrow it down.
You? Come on.
Why don't anything with white chocolate on it? It's just disgusting.
That's your nickname.
I know. And I'm kind of regretting it, actually. Regretting giving myself that nickname. Man, anything between white chocolate and anything and Twizzlers. Because Twizzlers are just wax.
We are a Twizzler family, not a Red Vine family.
We're a no family.
I like Twizzlers in the movies because I can bite off the ends and use it like a salt.
Well, it's useful. So, yeah, I'm saying anything white chocolate because nothing useful about white chocolate. Nothing useful about white chocolate.
Only delicious in your belly.
Nothing useful about white chocolate. Disgusting.
Delicious. What's your favorite candy?
Now that's a tough one. That is a tough one because
I think I've got this narrowed down actually. Probably a Payday.
Oh,
that's a good interesting choice.
Yeah.
Damn, man. Favorite candy.
Favorite candy.
God bless America. Just do top three because I can't nail down this one.
Three.
Yeah, Payday. What are the two?
Okay, let's do the Payday Cadbury eggs, but with the cream and not caramel.
Yeah.
Who puts caramel on Cadbury eggs? This is wrong.
They're
so
not, it's
levels.
Not bad. The caramel is just hard.
You're a big caramel fan, anyways.
Yeah, I love caramel.
Yeah, you are.
Yeah, you do.
All right, what are your top three?
Okay, let's see here. Hershey's Kisses, Pop Stoppers, yeah, suck on my show. And, sorry, Angie decided to bite into a Pop Stopper and actually broke her teeth, so just call it jawbreaker for a reason. It didn't break her jaw, so that's good.
Oh, it just broke my tooth.
Probably Sweet Tarts.
Oh, man, none of those should really be considered candy.
How is Hershey's Kisses not a candy?
Because it's a kiss.
Again. How are Sweet Tarts not a candy?
Because it's just powder.
I mean, I like Pixie Sticks. How's that? That's not candy either, then.
No, it's crack.
It does work on investigation. So. So they are candies because they're found in the candy aisle.
Okay.
Remember that gum used to come in tubes?
Yes.
That was good.
That was good.
Had kind of a crunchiness to it.
Uh-huh, because
the sugar.
A lot of sugar.
Yeah, I miss those.
Oh, the good old days.
Remember, what was it? They had Coca-Cola flavored gum, like Bubblicious Cola. That was so good. Berry gum, Bubblicious.
Oh, that was good.
Oh, the banana strawberry gum, the banana berry split.
Like,
love the banana berry split.
Not a banana person. All right. I know we're getting off on a tangent.
One more.
One
mint
more.
Chocolate chip gum. It actually just said mint chocolate gum.
I do remember that.
Good. And it was okay.
I don't think I liked it that much.
Neither did anybody else because it's not there anymore.
Favorite Starburst flavor?
We haven't tell me your
oh, favorite
you candy
okay.
yet. Yeah.
So, all right, I'll tell you. When I was a kid, like little, Baby Ruth were my absolute favorite. Loved Baby Ruth.
Reminds me of the gummies, the Goonies.
Yeah.
The gummies.
I love Baby Ruth.
Sloth.
Now I would probably say like it's got to be these things are called what are they called? Cordials.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, they're these delicious little chocolate balls that have a like a sugar orb on the inside
mm-hmm.
filled with some kind of liquid.
That's some good stuff.
And they're different flavors, but those are delicious. That
Delicioso.
That's old people candy.
Where are those originals? Are old people candy.
Oh, that and those Christmas
hard candy.
Candy.
Brock's.
Oh, yeah.
Brock's hard candy. Yummy.
Anything with caramel has to be my number two.
Yeah.
Anything. Number three.
Mm.
Oh, that's so hard.
That's what she said.
Yeah, I know. And then look what happened.
Yeah.
In the hospital.
Yeah. She said that too. I can vouch for it.
Let's see. I would have to go with a Take Five.
Ooh, that's a good one.
Because that's got the all of your sweet and salty, all of your things. It's got peanut, caramel, peanut butter, pretzel, covered in chocolate.
See, I like that.
Deliciousness. And I'm more of a hug girl than I am a kiss girl. I like the Hershey's hugs, not quite good, not the Hershey's kisses.
I mean, hugs
because
are an abomination
white,
because
white
they have
chocolate.
White chocolate, and white chocolate are good for nothing.
I love the white chocolate.
Disgusting. At least I know my son will be a brown chocolate man.
Oh, that's so bad.
So good.
No.
It's so good. I think dark chocolate. Dark chocolate is better than white chocolate. Special darks are the bomb diggity.
They're so bitter, though. I do like them sometimes.
As long as there's another flavor to go with it.
Yes.
Yeah. Like
yes.
caramel or...
Yeah.
Or like mint or raspberry or something.
I'll take one of the special dark chocolate, especially the little snack size ones, you know.
Oh, dark chocolate and strawberry is super good together. Chocolate covered cherries. I love them so much.
Can you buy those? Like.
Yeah. Brookstone makes them. Or Brookstone, I don't know how you say it, but they're so good.
Well, one of these days we're going to take a trip to the Brock's Candy Store factory.
Ooh.
And see how they're, see.
Oh.
I like watching the those on the Travel Channel
mm-hmm.
about how candy's made, and they show how to make those giant lollipops and stuff.
Oh,
and
yeah.
They wrap it around.
You know who it's called Unwrapped, comes on Food Network.
Mm-hmm.
And do you know who was the host of that show?
Bobby Flay.
No. Summers, who used to be the host of a little show on Nickelodeon called
Double Dare.
Double Dare.
I'm trying to think of what his catchphrase was. Where do you said Double Dare?
No, I don't remember. But I used to love that show.
Me too.
They should bring it back. Like,
they should bring back Double Dare.
Yeah.
Oh my
call
God.
It Double Dog Dare.
Remember? Triple Dog Dare. And you have to stick your tongue to a telephone pole. Remember Finders Keepers?
Yeah.
It was in a giant house. Was that about the giant house?
Yeah.
Yeah. And then The Secret of the Hidden Temple.
Oh, I didn't like that one that much. That one was
Wild
okay.
and Crazy Kids.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that was the outside one.
I like that one.
Where they did. Yeah, that one wasn't my favorite.
Yeah, Family Double Bear. And where it got crazy. The Sunday Slide, that was the one they couldn't get up. Because I remember watching one where it started off with the Sunday Slide, and you didn't get past the fucking slide.
And look, I don't know what any of these shows are. I'm like 40 years younger than both of you.
Have them grab the flags and stuff. All right, we're going off.
We're off topic.
That's
here.
Why I made the show an hour and a half.
Well,
almost
we got plenty of time.
I know.
you know
what that means.
It's time for some.
It's 10 to 10 party time. All right. I totally made that up. But now we know.
The more you know.
The more you know.
All right. So you want to start on some 13 strange superstitions?
Let's talk about superstitions first.
Okay.
What is your number one superstition?
My number one, like, I have two or three actually.
Uh-huh.
Are you ready?
Okay.
So the first one that always creeps me out is when somebody opens an umbrella in the house.
Mm.
Like, my grandma used to always open the umbrella. She'd, like, flip out if I open it in the store.
We're all going to die.
I know. That's what she would have thought. Like, in the store, in the house. Like, she just, no. You had to be outside and open an umbrella. So, like, my grandma scared that one into me. Because if you open the umbrella, you were going to die or something horrible was going to happen. The other one was every time a black cat crossed our path in the car, my grandma would cross in the window. Like, she'd draw a cross,
mm-hmm.
across and the one on the windshield, like the corner of it. So that still kind of creeps me out. Like, I hate crossing the black cat's path. And then the third one is the one about breaking a mirror.
Ooh, yeah.
Like, I still get crazy nervous when I break a mirror because I can see my life going downhill. And then I look at some things and I'm like, oh my god, it's because I broke that when I was 5 years old. That's why my life is crap.
Yep, that's what it is.
That's what happened.
Karma. How about you?
I was gonna say the mirror.
Mm-hmm.
See, that's a good one.
There is one that I'm not very familiar with. The black dogs. Truckers seeing black dogs if they're on the road for too long.
Oh.
But I haven't done a whole lot of research regarding that one.
Huh.
Hmm. Oh. Let's see. Well, what is mine? I always knock on wood when I want to have good luck.
Oh, yeah, I do too.
You know?
Yeah, I'm huge on that.
I don't even kind of, it's almost instinctual for me. I'm like, oh, well. Knock on wood, And, I mean, I try all to avoid all the ones. You know, if I drop salt, I throw some over my shoulder. Yeah, don't walk under, I mean, everything. And it's stupid. I mean, it's just, better safe than sorry, I guess.
Yeah.
Time, so.
That's
know,
what happened to your one.
That's what happened.
That cat when you were 5 years old.
It's nothing I did.
God.
I mean, it's not, nothing's my fault.
All my bad choices are because I broke a mirror.
It's just the freaking cosmos doing bad shit in my way. Because, my cosmetology. It's all the cosmetologists. I can't even talk. Cosmopolitans I drink. It's the ether. It's nature getting back at me for letting a black cat cross my path.
Yeah,
but these are just a few of the many superstitions that are out there. But we're going to talk about the superstitions of death.
Ooh.
This is a freaking awesome paranormal show.
Yeah, we got to get a little morbid.
Yes, the paranormal part of the paranormal show. Not the freaking awesome part. I guess it depends on how you look at death. It could be freaking awesome.
That's true.
You know, depends on what happens when you die. So, tonight will be educational.
Everybody get out your pens.
Educational
paper,
all up in this piece. Educational for you bitches out there. There will be a pop quiz after this. So, we can take some notes here. This article is 13 strange superstitions about death. Can I run through it here? Death is an uncomfortable subject for many folks. the severe emotional reaction people have to tap to death, especially if it's someone close that makes the living act in bizarre ways. Or maybe it's because death's process is not well understood that causes normally rational individuals to believe in irrational concepts. Yesterday, I was looking over notes for my basic coronary training. This is not me saying this, just saying. One segment was an understanding of various cultural practices and traditions about death. This is by Gary Rogers, by the way. Yes, the Gary Rogers. This was valuable information, as a difficult part of a coroner's job is interacting with the deceased family, and those relationships can come from a diverse ethnicity with some peculiar beliefs. I thought I'd share 13 strange superstitions about death. Miller's going to read the number 13 for us.
All righty. Number 13, coins on the eyes. The practice dates back to the ancient Greeks, who believed the dead would travel down to Hades and need to cross the river Styx in order to arrive in the afterlife. To cross over, they needed to pay the boat driver, Charon, so coins were placed over the eyes of the dead so they'd be able to pay the fare. Secondly, and more practically, many people die with their eyes open. This can be a creepy feeling, having the dead stare at you, and it was thought the dead might be eyeing someone to go with them. Coins were a practical item to weigh down the eyelids until rigor mortis set in. Coins being round and fit in the eye sockets, as well as being relatively heavy. The most famous set of eye coins is the two silver half dollars set on Abe Lincoln, now on display in the Chicago Historical Museum.
I always thought that was creepy, seeing the eyes with coins on them, you know?
Yeah.
Although having their eyes open would be a lot more creepy,
I
think.
Yeah.
Man. Number 12, birds and death. Birds were long held to be messengers to the afterlife because of their ability to soar through the air to the homes of the gods. It's not surprising that a number of myths materialized, such as hearing an owl hoot your name, ravens and crows circling your house, striking your window, entering your house, or sitting on your still looking in. Birds in general became harbingers of death, but somehow the only birds I personally associate with death are vultures. You probably never noticed, but most cemeteries are laid out. Wait a second. Where's number 11? All right, well then, number 11 is not here, so...
Well, before we go on to number 11, I'm going to read some more things about owls and birds.
Okay.
And death. And these are some superstitions or folklore about them. So if a bird flies into your house, there will soon be a death in the family. One of the surer omens of death is a bird entering the bedroom of a sick person and landing on the bedpost. Now, how often do you think that occurs these days? Not very often.
Not many people leave their windows open.
Anymore, yeah.
Like they did back then.
So seeing six crows is a sign of coming death. Some believe that a whippoorwill sitting near the house is an omen of death, while others believe it just means trouble will come. Ooh. Seeing two turtle doves together in a tree means death is coming. If a sparrow attacks a sparrow and throws it from its nest, a son will be born and a daughter will die. Now, that's not very nice. A, the sparrow, the birds are fighting. And B, you get a son, but your daughter dies. I wouldn't like that.
You have to see it, or there's a really weird position that you're in right now.
Right?
Yeah.
Exactly.
I'm
getting a little nervous.
Yeah, sparrows
don't
you know, be fighting.
Right?
And kicking each other out the nest.
Right? I've got a window right
like
outside my door.
Window.
Yeah.
I think you need to leave the blind sun until you come.
Oh, I do. I don't open that window.
Now I know why.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, here we go. Here's a good one for that. A white bird or a crow flying against a window at night foretells of a death in the house within a year. A pigeon flying against the window is a sign of death. Now, if a bird crashed in that window right now, I'd freak out.
Probably
just saying. All right, this is the last one. There's three about owls on here, but I'll only tell you this one. if you walk under a tree in the evening and an owl hoots right above your head, it means a relative or a friend of yours will die within a year.
Ooh. You better not. You listen, dude. We better not have any owls hooting over our heads now.
I think I'm just going to steer clear of the trees, too.
Yes, because we better just to stay on the safe side. Then we'll do number 10.
Okay.
Number 10? Okay. Because
there is no number 11. That's another superstition, I guess.
Superstitions, yeah. It can't be a number 11 on list of list of
13.
12 or how many?
You know, big places usually admit the four number 13.
Yeah,
they gave us number 13, but not a number
11. 11, I know.
Apparently, 11 is the new 13.
Remove a corpse feet first. This was body removal 101 that we learned in coroner school. Not that I learned, but that the writer learned in coroner school. We always
Gary Rogers.
Gary Rogers, that's correct.
The Gary Rogers, yes.
We always removed a body from a house with the feet first. The practice dates from Victorian times when it was thought if the corpse went out head first, it would be able to look back and beckon those standing behind to follow. It's still considered a sign of respect, but coroners secretly know it's way easier to handle a body in rigor mortis by bending it at the knees to get around corners rather than forcing the large muscles at the waist or wrenching the neck.
Well, that's interesting. Do you know which way of the house I'm going to be leaving when I'm dead?
Feet first.
There we go. I don't go head first on a slice. Cover the mirrors. Although I have gone head first on a slide before, it's not as much fun. It's been held that all mirrors within the vicinity of a dead body must be covered to prevent the soul from being reflected back during its attempt to pass out of the body and on to the afterlife. This practice is apparently strong in Jewish mourning tradition and may have a practical purpose to prevent vanity in the mourner so they can reflect their own appearance.
Ooh.
Wow. Rather, forcing them to focus on remembering and respecting the departed. Number eight.
Stop the clock. Apparently, this was a sign that time was over for the dead and that the clock must started until the deceased was buried. If it were the head of the household who died, then that clock would never be started again. And there's a song that kind of goes along that the writer used to thought. I'm not gonna used to think it went with that, but I'm not gonna sing it. I'll speak it rhythmically.
What's the tune?
I don't know. It doesn't say. My grandfather's clock was too large for the shelf, so it stood 19 years on the floor. It was taller by half than the old man himself, though it weighed not a pennyweight more. It was bought on the morn of the day that he was born, and was always his treasure and pride, but it stopped short, never to go again, when the old man died. Well, that's pretty fitting. I saw something about clocks in here, too. So, it is an omen of death for a clock to strike, then running. Also, if a weight in the family clock falls, then there will be a death in the family. A clock that strikes 13 prophesizes death. So nobody has those old kind of grandfather clocks anymore, and if they do, a lot of them aren't really working.
Yeah. I've never had a clock strike 13 o'clock, though. So that's,
yeah, no. Well, that's why. It's an omen of death. You know what I had a lot of? This is totally off topic.
I guess you have a military grandfather clock.
Mm-hmm. Remember when we went to your friend John's house
mm-hmm.
and wound his grandfather clock?
Oh, yeah.
That was interesting. That was a lot of fun. Off topic, sorry.
That was fun. We should wind more clocks.
Yeah.
That sounds like a lot of fun.
Stress reliever.
Yeah, it is. Number 7.
All righty. Flowers on the grave. Another odd belief is about flowers growing on a grave. If wildflowers appeared naturally, it was a sign the deceased had been good and had gone on to heaven. Conversely, a barren and dusty grave was a sign of evil and Hades. The custom evolved to putting artificial flowers on the grave, although it's now discouraged by most cemeteries due to maintenance issues. Additionally, it's always been practiced to put flowers on a casket. This seems to have come from another practical reason. The smell from scented flowers helped mask the odor of decomposition.
I can see that.
Yeah.
Number six. This one's for you, Angie.
Well,
pregnant women must avoid funerals.
Oh,
you ever hear of this? I didn't until I researched this article. It seems to have come from a perceived risk where pregnant women might be overcome by emotion during the final funeral ceremony and miscarry. Well, that's it, I guess.
That was nowhere near 13.
No, I mean, that's it for that one. I'm going to read number 4 because it wasn't very long.
No.
Hold your breath. Another popular superstition is that you must hold your breath while passing a graveyard to prevent drawing in a restless spirit that's trying to re-enter the physical world. Now, I actually did this when I was a kid. Every time I passed by a graveyard, I would duck down so they couldn't see me hold my breath. Because I figure if I'm not breathing, they'll think I'm dead too.
Oh,
he's one of us. He can go on. He can go on about his day. If I was breathing, he'd be like, oh shit.
Oh, gotta get
guys, we have one. We have a live one here.
Live one.
We got a live one here.
Catch that call.
And they will just fucking take off after my car. It might be a problem if you're passing Wadi es Salaam in Najaf, Iraq. It's a worldwide cemetery at 1,485.5 acres and holds over 5 million bodies.
Wow.
So you'll be holding your breath for a long time. Number 3, go.
Number 3, and the thunder rolls.
Lightning strikes.
Not the Garth Brooks song. It's thought that hearing thunder during a funeral service is a sign that the departed soul is being accepted into heaven. Where I grew up, the author, thunder was thought to be associated with lightning, and being struck by lightning was always a sign of bad luck. What? Are you kidding?
Being struck by lightning is a sign of bad luck? Who would have thunk it?
Gosh.
Maybe he means just the first strike is a coincidence.
Oh.
Number 2.
Strike me once, shame on me. Strike me twice.
Shame on me. No, shame on you.
Shame on you.
Shame on you.
Yeah, shame on whoever's striking you with lightning.
Shame on them.
Number 2. Funeral processions. There are lots of superstitious beliefs around funeral processions. First, it's considered very bad fortune to transport a body in your own vehicle.
Yeah, don't worry about that.
What?
And approaching a funeral procession without pulling over to the side and stopping is not only bad taste, it's illegal in some jurisdictions.
Ooh.
It's said if a procession stops along the way, another person will soon die and the corpse must never pass over the same section of road twice. Counting cars in a procession is dangerous because it's like counting the days till your own death.
Oh.
You must never see your reflection in a hearse window as that marks you as a goner. Bringing a baby to a funeral ensures it will die before it turns 1. And a black cat crossing before a procession dooms the entire parade. One thing I know to be true about a funeral procession is what happens when you leave the back door of the hearse unlatched.
Yeah. We don't want to do that. Leaving a grave open overnight. I see the superstition as a good practical advice. According to International Cemetery Cremation and Funeral Association, the standard grave size is 2.5 feet wide by 8 feet long by 6 feet deep. With a hole that big looming in the dark, someone could fall in and kill themselves. So you dig a grave, fill it up.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the 13 superstitions about death.
The almost 13 superstitions about death.
Almost, yeah. We're missing a few. Now, we're going to have a little musical break here.
Uh-oh.
Song goes out to Miller. And his trucker superstition.
mama said the way you move gon' make you sweat, gon' make you groove.
Soundboard here, and I just saw my son kick. in Angie's belly. So that was a.
He's still doing it. He's
that was a.
He's kicking all right.
That was a cool experience. We are now going to read some surprising origins of popular sayings, such as, you know, to eat crow.
Gift horse in the mouth.
Lift the gift horse in the mouth. Don't fall my leg. You know, stuff like that. You know, people, these things that people say, you know, all the time, but
we don't really
know the reason why we say these things. What's one you got there?
The first one we got is let the cat out of the bag, meaning to reveal a secret. Letting the cat out of the bag finds its roots in 18th century street brawl. Suckling pigs were often sold in bags, and the popular scheme was to replace the pig with a cat and sell it to an unwitting victim.
Not nice.
We've all heard of the saying to eat crow. You know, that's basically, you know, if you brag about something and you're wrong about it, you eat crow. To eat crow means to admit fault or be wrong, proved wrong after taking a strong position. The Bible lists crow as unfit for eating, and along with buzzards and rat, it was actually illegal to eat crow in the Middle Ages. As such, it was notably humiliating to consume. Here's one.
Alrighty. No valve can't hold a candle to. Before electricity, workers needed a second set of hands to hold a candle for them. Holding a candle was clearly a less challenging job. So someone who wasn't even qualified to provide light to a competent worker obviously wouldn't be able to perform the task themselves.
How about dress to the nines?
Oh, is that what that was?
Yeah.
Why didn't you see it?
I mean, read.
Give me it. Where does it say that at?
It doesn't. I just know what it means.
Oh,
I've heard it before.
All right, so dress to the nines, meaning to dress exceptionally well. What? There's no concrete consensus on the origin of dressing to the nines, but the most popular theory comes from the fact that the very best suits used a full 9 yards of fabric.
I like to be dressed to the nines.
Me
well,
too. I don't use the whole 9 yards of fabric.
I'm dressed to the 9 hours of sleep.
I'm dressed to like the 4.5, probably. Mind your P's and Q's. I thought that meant please and thank yous. Q's, thank yous. You know? But it does not, apparently. I was wrong about that. Because in the 17th century, pubs served beer in pints and quarters. The patron was getting unruly. The bartender might warn them to mind their P's and Q's. Now the term simply means to mind your manners, drunk or not.
Get it together.
I'm trying to get it together. But the fact, the way that these pages were printed out is a bit confusing. Here you go.
Alrighty, how about a rule of thumb? The rule of thumb as a form of rough measurement probably comes from carpenters approximating inches with their thumbs. Another theory is that farmers use the length of a thumb to estimate how deep to plant seeds.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good rule of thumb right there. I like that.
I like it.
Yeah. How about the term, ever say, sleep tight?
Yeah.
Don't let the bed bugs bite.
Yeah.
When you go to bed, tell Kimmy to go to bed, or anybody really, sleep tight.
Mm-hmm.
Don't let the bed bugs bite. Well, minus the bed bug part of that equation. the term sleep tight simply means to sleep well. The phrase sleep tight dates from the time when mattresses were supported by ropes. These ropes needed to be pulled tight to provide a stable mattress and a good night's rest. I'm pretty sure the term don't let the bed bugs bite probably speaks for itself.
Yeah, right.
Anne's just going to talk about where the term square meal came from.
Square meal? Oh. So, nobody actually knows where this idiom came from. though the Royal Navy did serve meals on square plates at one point. Another idea is more linguistic in nature. The use of square to mean honest and straightforward goes back to at least the 16th century, which makes sense as square meal refers to a healthy, hearty dinner. This one might remain a mystery.
I think we'll blame the originations of that one from the flat earthers.
Probably.
Yeah.
Everything's their fault.
Yeah, square, flat.
Yeah.
Not round.
Not round. Yeah.
Everything's square.
Don't fall off the edge.
Miller's going to talk to us about the term three sheets to the wind.
Oh, three sheets to the wind. I've never heard of this one before.
Oh, you haven't?
Mm-mm. Nope.
Oh.
Sailors had a lot of terms for being drunk, and they all related to the ship. Being tipsy was a sheet in the wind's eye, and being hammered was a full three sheets to the wind. The sheets in question were actually the ropes that held down the sails, so if all three ropes were loose, the sails would billow about like a drunken sailor.
That's very interesting. That's awesome. Number 20. I know there were 20 of these, but really, it's a lot of them didn't get printed out. So number 20 is Hocus Pocus.
That was a good movie.
It was. Magical phrase is probably a bastardization of the Roman Catholic liturgy of the Eucharist, which contains the phrase "Hocus Corpus Meum." How rude. So,
Stephanie Tanner.
I know.
How rude.
How rude. Is that all of your sayings? What are some of your other favorite sayings?
How about break a leg?
Break a leg?
You didn't go over break a leg.
That is on there somewhere.
Yeah.
You have it?
I do.
Okay.
The phrase break a leg originates in theater. Since superstitions run rampant in the theater, it's not surprising to learn that wishing someone good luck outright is actually considered bad luck. Instead, it was more suitable to wish ill will on someone before a performance, since the opposite was supposed to occur.
A little bit of reverse psychology there, it looks like.
So here's a hospital superstition. You ready?
Yeah.
So in the hospital, when you're working, you can never say the B word, busy. You can't say, oh, we're not busy. Or, yeah, we're busy, because if you say we're not busy, all of a sudden you'll be slammed. If you say we are busy, then it'll show you how busy you can get.
That's like saying the Q word at the jail, isn't it?
Yeah, or you can't say the Q word here either. No.
Quiet.
Oh!
You said it.
Oh, God. All hell's running right loose.
Glad we're not working.
They're not very busy here.
Right.
I would like some nursing care tonight. Can you please be quiet?
People are going to listen to the show. They're going to call me, sending me hate mail.
So here are 13 common but silly superstitions. So the first one is one that I know very well, called beginner's luck. Usually grumbled by an expert who just lost a game to a novice, beginner's luck is the idea that newbies are unusually likely to win when they try to get out a sport, game, or activity for the first time. Beginners might come out ahead in some cases because the novice is less stressed out about winning. Too much anxiety, after all, can hamper performance. Or it could just be a statistical fluke, especially in a chance-based gambling game. Or, like many superstitions, a belief in beginner's luck might arise because of confirmation bias. Confirmation bias is a psychological phenomenon in which people are more likely to remember events that fit into their worldview. If you believe they're going to win because you're a beginner, if you believe you're going to win because you're a beginner, you're more likely to remember all the times you were right and forget the times you ended up in last place.
Put on my spectacles here, my reading glasses. Number 12, find a penny, pick it up.
But only if it's heads up.
which I did. I picked up that.
It's free money. I don't care. I'm picking it up.
Oh, no. It's bad luck to pick up a penny on Tails.
I think it's good luck to find good money.
Oh.
All right.
Got a lot to learn in this world.
And all day long, you'll have good luck. See? Right there.
All right.
This little ditty may arise. Honey, money is lucky in itself, but it might also be a spinoff of another old rhyme. See a pin, pick it up, and all day long, you'll have good luck. See a pin, lay, and your luck will pass. Why?
I don't know. Tell me.
It says your luck will pass. Why?
Oh.
Maybe it
does not
pass you by.
Yeah, I think it was supposed to be. We'll pass by.
Oh.
They left off the B. See? You can't
see. And also it says see a pin, so I'm not picking up a pin. A penny. It doesn't say anything about the heads up thing.
Well, I'm telling you, that's a surreal thing in life.
Don't walk under that ladder. Frankly, this superstition is pretty practical. Who wants to be responsible for stumbling or knocking a carpenter off his perch? But one theory holds that this superstition arises from a Christian belief in the Holy Trinity. Since a ladder leaning against a wall forms a triangle, breaking that triangle was blasphemous. Then again, another popular theory is that a fear of walking under a ladder has to do with its resemblance to medieval gallows. Mm. We're sticking with the safety first explanation for this one.
That's a good.
I don't want to tell. Black cats crossing your path. See, I got this one. As companion animals for humans for thousands of years, cats play all sorts of mythological roles. In ancient Egypt, cats were revered. Today, Americans collectively keep more than 81 million cats as pets. So why keep a black cat out of your path? Most likely, this superstition arises from old beliefs in witches and their animal familiars, which were often said to take the form of domestic animals, like cats.
I'd love to have a Savannah. Mm. They are big.
They are big.
I just can't deal with a litter box.
Yeah, we're not going there.
I don't mind having a cat.
Yeah, I don't mind having a cat either if you're going to change the litter box.
A rabbit's foot will bring you luck. Talismans and amulets are a time-honored way of fending off evil. Consider the crosses and garlic that are supposed to keep vampires at bay. Rabbit feet as talismans may hark back to early tribes in Britain. They may also arise from hoodoo, a form of African-American folk magic, and superstition that blends Native American, European, and African traditions.
Ooh.
Now, the next one I am very familiar with. What happens a second time always happens a third time. Bad luck does come in threes for those of you listening. Remember confirmation bias? The belief that bad luck comes in threes is a classic example. A couple things go wrong, and believers may start to look for the next bit of bad luck. A lost shoe might be forgotten one day, but seen as the third in a series of bad breaks the next.
Real life. Oh, here's the other one. Careful with that mirror. According to folklore, breaking a mirror is a surefire way to doom yourself to 7 years of bad luck. The superstition seems to arise from the belief that mirrors don't just reflect your image. They hold bits of your soul. That belief led people in the old days of the American South to cover mirrors in a house when someone died, lest their soul be trapped inside. Like the number three, the number seven is often associated with luck. 7 years is a long time to be unlucky, which may be why people have come up with a countermeasure to free themselves after breaking a mirror. These include touching a piece of the broken mirror to a tombstone or grinding the mirror shards into powder.
Well, there you go. Now you have an out. 666.
I think it's 666. Is it 666 or 666?
Well, number 6 and
66.
Oh,
it is.
666.
I think it's supposed to be 666, but they include the number 6 with the 6s.
So it's 6 with the 6 and the 6s, and the 6s with the 6s and the 6s.
All the 6s.
All the 6s. 3 6s in a row. give some people the chills. It's a superstition that harks back to the Bible. In the book of Revelation, 666 is given as the number of the beast. It is often interpreted as a mark of Satan and a sign of the end times. According to State University of New York at Buffalo, anthropologist Philip Stevens, the writer of Revelation was writing to persecuted Christians in code. So the numbers and names in the book are contemporary references. Three sixes in a row is probably the numeric equivalent of the Hebrew letters for the first century Roman Emperor Nero.
Robert De Niro?
Little Nero, actually, Little Nero's Pizza from Home Alone.
Alrighty. Knock on wood. This phrase. Whoops.
There you go.
There we go. This
classic
phrase. This phrase is almost like a verbal talisman designed to ward off bad luck after tempting fate. Breaking that mirror didn't bring me any trouble. Knock on wood. The fixation on wood may come from old myths about good spirits in trees or from an association with the Christian cross. Similar phrases abound in multiple languages, suggesting that the desire not to upset a spiteful universe is very common.
Make a wish on a wishbone. I loved doing this
when
I was a kid.
What, at Thanksgiving?
Yes.
Yeah,
my grandma
too.
Would always save it for me. The tradition of turkey bone tug-of-war goes back a long way. Legend has it that first century Romans used to fight over dried wishbones, which they believed were good luck, and would accidentally break them, ushering in the idea that whoever has the largest bit of bone gets their wish. Bird bones have also been used in divination. I can't never say that word
right. You said it right.
Okay.
You've done good.
Throughout history, with a supposed soothsayer throwing the bones and reading their patterns to predict the future. Stick a needle in your eye.
Not for this. That's cross your heart, anyway.
I made sense. I just said it.
I know, but it's cross your heart, hope you die, stick a needle in your eye. And liar, liar, pants on fire. Because you lied, it's not cross your fingers.
Not either.
Uh-huh. Well, that's what it says. Or plants for hire, as Patrick would say. That's pants on fire, Patrick. You would know, liar. Liar, liar, plants for hire. Cross your fingers. Those wishing for luck will often cross one finger over another, a gesture that's to early Christianity. The story goes that two people used to cross index fingers when making a wish, a symbol of support from a friend to the person making the wish. Anything associated with the shape of the Christian cross was thought to be good luck. The tradition gradually became something people could do on their own. These days, just saying fingers crossed is enough to get the message well. A cross.
Fingers crossed.
No umbrellas inside.
I'm telling you.
Another one of Angie's superstitions.
I can't tell you how many umbrellas I've actually opened inside, though.
Oh, man. Miller, that explains everything.
That explains all of it.
That explains it all.
And not just because you'll poke someone's eye out. Opening an umbrella indoors is supposed to bring bad luck. Though the origins of this belief are murky, legends abound from a story of an ancient Roman woman who happened to have opened her umbrella moments before her house collapsed, to the tale of a British prince who accepted two umbrellas from a visiting king and died within months. Like the don't walk under a ladder superstition, this seems to be a case of a myth arising to keep people from doing something that is slightly dangerous in the first place.
You'll poke your eye out.
You took that Red Ryder BB gun, you shoot your eye out.
You'll shoot your eye out. Friday the 13th.
That's a good one to end on.
It is.
We just had one not too long ago.
Yeah.
Last week, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Well,
or 2 weeks
ago.
2 weeks,
yeah.
I actually don't mind Friday the 13th because they play all the Friday the 13th movies usually.
Yeah, well, that tradition is going to be ending when I move in because
we're
not a horror movie family.
Oh, we're a horror movie family.
No, we're not.
You're not a horror movie person.
No, we're not.
If you're not scared of Friday the 13th, you should be.
Damn. Okay, then.
You should be scared of the word used to describe those who are. Oh, man, this is a big word. Okay.
It's supercalifragilisticexpialidocious. No.
Frigatriskaidekaphobic.
Frigatriskaidekaphobic. Where is it?
I'm going to make it big.
Make it big. That's what she said.
And then this happened.
Uh-huh.
Right there.
Paris gives.
No.
Where the frig is this? Oh, okay. Kaida. Friga Triska Kaidekaphobics.
Dickaphobics.
Dickaphobics.
An alternative, though, just as tongue twisty word for the fear is Paris Kiva Decatrophobia. Yeah.
Damn
for
right.
Superstition, the fear of Friday the 13th seems fairly new, dating back to the late 1800s. Friday has long been considered an unlucky day. According to Christian tradition, Jesus died on a Friday, and 13 has a long history as an unlucky number. According to the Stress Management Center and Phobia Institute in North Carolina, about 17 million people fear Friday the 13th. Many may fall prey to the human mind's desire to associate thoughts and symbols with events. If anything bad happens to you on Friday the 13th, the two will forever be associated in your mind, said Thomas Gilovic, a psychologist at Cornell University. All those uneventful days in which the 13th fell on a Friday will be ignored. That's the end of that.
Well then, huh. We definitely learned some interesting things tonight.
Yeah, we did.
On the Freaking Awesome Paranormal Show. Get papers together here. Learn a few more things about death. We got some time.
All right. I've got 12 old wives tales. You'd rather do those.
12 old wives tales?
Yep, that still hold true. Or do you want to talk about that?
Well,
we can talk about that.
We talk about the black dog for a second?
Yes.
Yeah.
The black dog.
Yes.
We played the song and everything.
Alrighty, so it says a black dog is a spectral or demonic entity found primarily in the folklore of the British Isles. The black dog is essentially a nocturnal apparition, some of them shapeshifters, and are often said to be associated with the devil or described as a ghost or hellhound.
Oh.
Its appearance was regarded as a portent of death.
Well, I can see why truckers wouldn't want to be meeting the black dog on their ride, son.
Right.
I'm going to talk about one sign of death and dreams. Because I know I dream of this all the time. It's really kind of scary. It used to be said that to dream of your teeth falling out was a sign of coming death. I never dreamed of that. I'm just kidding. But if you ever have a dream about teeth falling out, then that is a sign of death. Well, guys, we've learned a lot. We've laughed.
We've loved.
We've cried.
And here,
we come to
maybe
the end.
That was mostly crying and sweating.
So not this time.
No.
Oh.
Not this time. I wasn't sweating this time.
Good.
Mm. Everyone's had a good. I hope everyone's had a good show. What have you learned today, Angie?
That all of us have superstitions. You know what I think?
What?
I think some of our listeners should go on to our Facebook page and put some of their superstitions on there.
Like
the ones that their top three that they're they hold true. I don't know, or that they really follow, like the knocking on wood, or think they should do that. All of you guys.
That's a good idea, guys. If you have superstitions that you believe in, you follow. Good luck. Anything.
Good luck rituals.
Good luck rituals,
yeah.
You guys do. That's put them on our Facebook page.
We'll pick a few next week and read them.
There we go. How about you, Darler?
Don't open your umbrellas in the house.
Amen. I'm making my grandma proud.
Rule number
each
one.
Each rainy day at a time.
And what have I learned? I've learned that the black dog is something you don't want to mess with, especially if you're a trucker. Don't forget to tune in next week, guys, when we bring you supernatural news.
Yay.
Of the strange and unusual. And anybody else, anything else to say?
Thanks for listening. Don't forget to get your tickets to Henricus.
Yes, Henricus Park, $55 for tickets. It's for a Friday and Saturday night. And $100 for...
$99 for both
nights. $99 for both nights. That's it. Everyone has a good night. And since I figure out where the mouse is, we will talk to you later.
Have a good night.
See you next Monday.
Yep, talk to you Monday. Bye. What?
You can't say bye yet. Because you have to say...
We'll be back. What?
Same bat.
What was it again? I don't remember what the saying was.
Because you have to say...
Same freaking awesome time.
Same freaking awesome channel.
About same freaking awesome people.
That's right. Hopefully there'll be four of us coming on the show on Monday.
Hope you feel better.
Bye, Celeste.
Bye.
Have a good... Well, like, bye. But, yeah, I guess bye.
Yeah.
Well, bye, everyone.
Bye all.
Till next time.
Till next time. Have a good night.